జయ కుంజ విహారీ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే వాసుదేవాయ వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్ నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతీ నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 28 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ జ్ఞానయోగ వర్స్ నెంబర్ 1. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ పరస్వభావకర్మాణి న ప్రశంసేన్న గర్హయే విశ్వం ఏకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ. శ్రీభగవానువాచ పరస్వభావకర్మాణి న ప్రశంసేన్న గర్హయే విశ్వం ఏకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ. శ్రీభగవానువాచ పరస్వభావకర్మాణి న ప్రశంసేన్న గర్హయేత్ విశ్వమేకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ. పరస్వభావకర్మాణి నా ప్రశంసేన్న గర్హయే విశ్వమేకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ పరస్వభావకర్మాణి న ప్రశంసేన్న గర్హయే విశ్వమేకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ. విశ్వమేకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ. వర్డ్ బై వర్డ్ శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ. ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ సెడ్, పర ఎనీవన్ ఎల్సెస్ స్వభావ నేచర్ కర్మాణి the activities, na prashamshet, one should not praise, na garhayet, one should not criticize, vishvam, the world, ekatmakam, based on one reality, pashyan, seeing, prakritya, along with nature, పురుషేణ విత్ ఎంజాయింగ్ సోల్ చ ఆల్సో. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పెట్ బై డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ సెడ్, వన్ షుడ్ నేదర్ ప్రేజ్ నార్ క్రిటిసైజ్ ద కండిషన్ నేచర్ అండ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ ఆఫ్ అదర్ పర్సన్స్. Rather, one should see this world as simply the combination of material nature and the enjoying souls, all based on the one absolute truth. Purport: material situations and activities appear to be good, passionate, and ignorant according to the interactions of the modes of nature. These modes are produced by the illusory potency of the Lord, which is itself not different from its master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a devotee of the Lord remains aloof from the illusory temporary manifestations of material nature. At the same time, he accepts material nature as the potency of the Lord and thus essentially real. The example may be given that modeling clay is shaped by a child into various playful forms such as tigers, men, or houses. The modeling clay is real, whereas the temporary shapes it assumes are illusory, not being actual tigers, men, or houses. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation is modeling clay in the hands of Supreme Lord, who acts through Maya to shape the glaring temporary forms of illusion, which absorb the minds of those who are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూపాగదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగనా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగనా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతి గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచనా గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పదరూభ్యస్య కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో హరే రామో రామ రామో హరే 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 కృష్ణ సీకింగ్ యువర్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ టు స్పీక్ సంథింగ్ ఇన్ ద గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ ఫర్ మై ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ సో ఆఫ్టర్ ద హోల్ 1 month ఆఫ్ డిస్కషన్ ఆన్ డిటీ వర్షిప్ నో ద నెక్స్ట్ చాప్టర్ ఈజ్ ఆన్ జ్ఞాన యోగ లైక్ ప్రీవియస్లీ వర్ డైరెక్ట్లీ డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ పర్సనల్ వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ డైరెక్ట్లీ డీలింగ్ అండ్ ఇన్ అ ప్యూర్ డివోషనల్ వే అండ్ నౌ ద ఫోకస్ షిఫ్ట్స్ టు జ్ఞాన యోగ సో ఐ జస్ట్ థాట్ విల్ జస్ట్ డిస్కస్ విల్ స్టార్ట్ విత్ వాట్ ఈస్ జ్ఞాన యోగ లిటిల్ బ్రీఫింగ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ బిఫోర్ గోయింగ్ టు ద యాక్చువల్ చాప్టర్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ లైక్ ఇన్ ద చాప్టర్ 20 ఆఫ్ క్యాంటో 11 కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ ఇన్ ఎ సెన్స్ దేర్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ 3 ప్రాసెసెస్ లైక్ భగవద్గీత వి హ్యావ్ జనరల్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఇస్ దర్ ఇస్ కర్మయోగ దర్ ఇస్ జ్ఞాన యోగ దర్ ఇస్ అష్టాంగ యోగ దెన్ దర్ ఇస్ సాంఖ్య అండ్ సో మెనీ వర్డ్స్ దే కమ్ అప్ బట్ ఇన్ ద 11th క్యాంటో కృష్ణ గివ్స్ ఎ కంక్లూజన్ బై సేయింగ్ దట్ ఎసెన్షియలీ దెర్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ 3 పాత్స్ కర్మయోగ జ్ఞాన యోగ అండ్ దెన్ భక్తి యోగ అండ్ దెన్ కృష్ణ స్టార్ట్స్ బై సేయింగ్ దీస్ 3 పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ ఆల్సో ఏ పర్టికులర్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ హూ టేక్ అప్ టు దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ప్రాసెస్ కృష్ణ స్టేస్ నిర్విన్నాం జ్ఞానయోగో న్యాసినాం ఇహ కర్మషు తేషు అనిర్విన్న చిత్తానాం కర్మయోగస్తు కామినాం సో వాట్ ఆర్ ద క్వాలిఫికేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ సంబడీ హూ టు టేక్ టు ద కర్మయోగ సో సంబడీ హూ హ్యాస్ అటాచ్మెంట్ సంబడీ హూ ఆర్ కామినాం అండ్ అనిర్విన్న చిత్తానాం సంబడీ హూ హ్యాస్ ఎ డిజైర్స్ టు ఫుల్ఫిల్ ద మెటీరియల్ హీ ఈస్ ఎక్స్పెక్టింగ్ టు ఫుల్ఫిల్ ద మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్ and then the word uses anirvinna somebody who has not detached from the material world so for such a people the process that which is prescribed is they can follow the karma yoga there is a prescribed vedas they prescribe how what all activities to be done what format it should be done and as one practices then the person gets an elevation And now here, for the jnanis, for the jnana yoga, the two words are used. One is nirvinnanam and then nyasinam. Nyasi is somebody who has renounced, the materially renounced everything. And the nirvinnanam is the internal consciousness that one has. The nirvinnanam is some kind of a detachment that one develops. So before doing that, so there is in NOD, Network of Devotion, describing the material rasa, Prabhupada's, there it comes, one word like bhoga tyaga. So even a materialistic person who is doing sense gratification also goes through a phase of bhoga and tyaga. He will be enjoying the, he will try to enjoy the activities, and then after some time he just renounces everything, goes to a mode of tyaga. Like sometimes when we have problem in the stomach, so even though there is a nice food stuff in the prasadam, so we tend to not take it. So now it appears that, oh, this person has developed renunciation towards enjoyable things. But what happens is, after some time the body gains the proper digestive power, and then we tend to enjoy it. So this is okay, because it is prasadam, it is okay. But generally, for outsiders, they go through this tendency of working so hard in office, Monday to Friday, as if the whole world is dependent on them, and then Friday, Saturday, just take leave. Because one gets frustrated by that. So material rasa only gives, doesn't give full satisfaction. So one does not get, and one goes through this feature of bhoga and tyaga. But the word used here, nirvinnana, is something different from this tyaga that one develops just because of some material frustration. So this word nirveda, nirvinna or nirvit or nirveda, you're just seeing, like, it comes initially in the Dhritarashtra quits home, that section it comes. Vidurji is telling to Dhritarashtra, yes, svakato parato veha jata nirveda atmavan hridi kritva harim gehat pravrajetsa narottama. So he is certainly a first class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, Vidurji is telling Dhritarashtra that one should develop that nirveda, that one should see the falsity and the misery in the material world, and then keep the Lord in the heart. And then Parikshit Maharaj is also says, tasyaiva me agasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya griheshu abhikshanam nirveda moolo dvijashaparupo yatra prasakto bhayamashu datte. So he says, nirveda moolo, so the curse that which has come upon him has developed that nirveda, detachment from the material world. And Devahuti, while asking Kapildev for instructions, so she also says, nirvinna nitaram bhuman. So he says like that. So all these people, when they get to the stage of that nirveda, it is not again going back, but something looking for higher than what was giving frustration before, the material life. Interestingly, this word is also used for the pingala also in the 11th canto. Tasya nirvinna chittasya gitam shrunu yathamama nirveda ashapashanam purushasya yatahiyashu. Here the prostitute also felt disgusted with her material situation and thus became indifferent to it. Indeed, detachment acts like a sword, cutting to pieces the binding network of material hopes and desires. Now please hear from me the song sung by the prostitute in this situation. So now, at least when previous people, they got to the stage of nirveda, it is understood, okay, they are devotees, somehow connected to the devotional life. So when they got frustrated, they have taken shelter of Supreme Lord. But here it gives a understanding that even Pingala, who was a prostitute, also when she got frustrated, developed Nirveda. So it may appear that Nirveda is also possible by the material frustration. But if you see in the prayers of Pingala, she goes on tells, how come I developed so much of attraction towards the Supreme Lord and this kind of a detachment from the material pleasures? It is only because I have received some blessings of the Lord. So in the in his commentary, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that some authorities say that she thought in this way by the great mercy of Dattatreya, who happened to rest in her yard at that night. So it is said that so this pastime is spoken by Avadhuta Brahman to Yadu, and one understanding is that Avadhuta Brahman himself is Dattatreya, who gave knowledge to Yadu. And some say that on that night the Avadhuta Brahman happened to stay and take rest in the house of Pingala. So because of that little Ajnata Sukriti that she has done, she developed that Nirveda. So when one gets that Nirveda, it is a complete disgust towards the material life and looking for really something higher, not just a temporary frustration in the material life. So for such people, the process that which is given is Jnana Yoga, because they are so frustrated that they cannot engage in the material life activities anywhere. So they are given the full-fledged technical analysis of how the world is functioning, and the position of the living entity and the position of the Supreme Lord. So essentially, when it comes to Jnana Yoga, it discusses about the nature of the living entity, the nature of the world, the nature of the Supreme Brahman. So problem of the karmis was, in the karmis is a common living entity, he wants to enjoy the material world, so because of that there is suffering. And at the level of Jnana Yoga, one gives up that tendency to enjoy, and to make that stronger, the Jnana Yoga is gives the whole details. At the end of the day, the purpose is just to show that this material world is not worth enjoyed. Essentially it says the living entity in nature is spiritual and material world is matter. So both are two different entities. A spiritual entity cannot get pleasure by enjoying a matter. So please don't try for happiness over here. Problem is Jnana Yoga stops there, and then it just says in an impersonalistic tendencies. And so Jnana Yoga becomes so dry because one is not allowed to engage in any of the senses, because at the end of the day any sense enjoyment will leads to suffering in the world, and one wants to get out of that suffering. And the only thing is, one has to focus on the Supreme Brahman, which is Akshara, does not have any qualities, does not interact with anyone, does not do anything, does not have any qualities, unperceivable and all. So before talking about Bhakti Yoga, I would like to just talk on one presentation given by Radhika Raman Prabhu on the contribution of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu towards the world religions. So he starts by asking a question like, what is the various ways in which the people understand God? When we ask the people in the West, generally they say God is a creator, somebody who has created the whole world. But when we come to the India, we have an understanding God is not just a creator, he is a maintainer, but he is also the destroyer also. All the three phases of creation, maintenance and destruction is happened by the Lord. That understanding is there in the Vedic text from the here. But still, and there are others who will say the Supreme Absolute Truth is impersonal light, the basis of the whole material world, the spiritual world. Out of all these religious people, he says that Vaishnavas are the only one. They just ask, what is God doing when he is not creating, when he is not maintaining this world, and when he is not dealing with this material world? Because in all the other understandings of God, the God is understood in terms to how he relates to this material world. When we ask how God does, so that is the only that is a question that is asked only by the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavacharyas, they go ahead and ask, okay, God is doing so many things over here, but what is he doing when he is not doing all this creation, maintenance and all? So in that Vaishnava literatures, it comes the specific activities of that Supreme Absolute Truth, that which the jnanis are running after and trying to attain. That Supreme Absolute Truth, so when he's asked the acharyas, what does it do? The only thing that simply tell is, the Supreme Absolute Truth has nothing to do, he just plays. He is just playing and enjoying his time. And now, in this material world also, the people after working Monday to Friday, they go out and to have one simple outing and they also want to play. So is it the same play that the Supreme Absolute Truth is also having? After bored with the whole material creation, so let me have some outing in the spiritual world. So the way it is presented in the scriptures is, the playing is not just a playing, it is called as a leela. It is not like the mundane people who does. In the material world, a person goes out and starts playing something so that he will get happiness. But in the, in the Supreme Absolute Truth, when he goes out and plays, that play is an expression of his happiness, of the happiness of that Absolute Truth. Because the Absolute Truth is Sat Chit and Ananda. The Ananda is already there within the Absolute Truth. And when that Ananda overflows, that Supreme Absolute Truth, he exhibits various pastimes, various leelas. So Bhagavatam starts in the very beginning, it defines the Supreme Absolute Truth in three phases. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdhyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma and also Bhagavan. So Vaishnavas, we don't reject the impersonal aspect, but at the same time we say there is some more aspect to the Absolute Truth. That's why he is a Bhagavan, a personality, a Leela Purushottam. So now one question can come here, like, it's all fine, like, you are telling the Supreme Absolute Truth has lot of activities that he is performing beyond this material world. But how does someone know it? And then the simple answer can come is, it is all there in the scriptures. All the scriptures are given by God and scriptures are telling this. Then there are Mayavadis who try to change the scriptures, who try to give misinterpretations to that and then try to show all those activities in terms of material activities. One nice to this question, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami in 10th canto, 87th chapter. So he is basically asking that even the Vedas, that which has been given, they are written in the words. Ultimately, if you want to describe Krishna, we say that he is 16-year-old boy, standing in threefold bending form. He is blue in color, he is holding flute, and he is having a peacock feather. And now, there are so many boys who are 16-year-old in the material world. There are so many flutes. Blue is also a color. So now, even the words also have a material connotation. So the question asked is, then how come the supreme absolute truth, which is beyond the material world, can be described with the words? Because ultimately Vedas are put in the words. So, because the question is so deep, the Sukadeva Goswami also goes very deep and elaborate, and one of the most technical sections in Bhagavatam, he goes elaborately and dismantles the entire thing and then shows how Supreme Personality of Godhead can be known. But before that entire elaboration, he just answers in one verse. The first verse is Parikshit's question. In second verse itself, Sukadeva Goswami answers in a very simple terms. And then he goes on for elaborate discussion. I just thought I will only quote that simple terms. Sukadeva Goswami says, the Supreme Lord manifested the material intelligence, senses, mind and vital energy of the living entities so that they could indulge in their desires for sense gratification. So basically he is saying, the people of this world, they are thinking that because they have material, maybe the Jnanis and the Mayavadis, they are thinking because they have the material body, they are able to see the matter. But Sukadeva Goswami is saying, even that ability to perceive the matter is also given by the Supreme Lord. It is not coming from matter. And he says, that same Supreme Lord who has given you the ability to perceive matter, he can also give ability to perceive the Supreme Spirit also. So like that, in one sentence he says, don't act too smart. The God who has given you power to see the matter has also power to show you spirit also. And then after that he goes on elaborately dismantling the whole thing. And the third verse he says, there are so many people who have already gone through the process and attained the Supreme. By going through that you can also attain it. So now coming to Bhakti Yoga, we are discussing initially about Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and now Bhakti Yoga. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, the verse used is, Yadrichaya Matkatashu Jatashraddhahi Appuman Nanirvinno Natisakto Bhakti Yogosya Siddhida. If somehow or other by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. So now here, there are two qualifications given. There are two qualifications given. The one word used is nanirvinno natisakto. The person is not completely nirvinna. He is not disgusted. And at the same time, he is not na atisakta. He is not too attached. So now in the initial description, we have seen that somebody who is too attached is qualified for karma yoga, and somebody who is too detached is qualified for jnana yoga. And now on a surface it may appear that, okay, in this whole spectrum there is somebody in between who is not too attached and who is not too detached, then he will be qualified for the bhakti yoga. But the point is, when the nirvinna for the jnana yogis is also coming from some sukruti that they have done, the qualification of bhakti yoga cannot come just by the material qualification of not being too attached or not being too detached. So the qualification basically here comes is of the yadrichaya mat katashu jata shraddha hiyatpuman. Mat katashu, in the topics of the Supreme Lord, somebody has developed a desire. Jata shraddha, one has developed faith in hearing to the topics of the Supreme Lord. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, those who become disgusted with the material life take to impersonal philosophical speculation and rigorously try to stamp out any trace of personal existence. So that is the case of the jnana yogis. Those who are still attached to the material sense gratification try to purify themselves by offering the fruits of their ordinary activities to the Supreme. So this is the position of the karma yogis. The first class candidate for pure devotional service, on the other hand, is neither completely disgusted with nor attached to the material life. So he does not desire to pursue ordinary material existence any further. Like the karma yogis, they are endeavoring to achieve something from the material world. But the devotee, even though he is not completely nirvinna, he is not completely disgusted, still he is not engaging in gaining something from the material world. At the same time, he is not completely getting away from the material world. Yeah. Neither the candidate of devotional service does not give up all hopes of perfecting personal existence. It's a very nice sentence. Like the jnana yogis, they have given up the hope of a perfecting personal existence. So because of the disgust, it is comes over there. Now, the one has a disgust towards even the personal existence. And regarding this nanirvinno and natisakto, it is said that so this is the quality that the Supreme Lord himself exhibits. Like the Supreme Lord creates the entire material world so meticulously, so many planetary systems, so much nice things, and so much, there are hells also, there are heavens also. Such a nice system is being created, and he maintains for a long time, and after some time he destroys. Like for someone who has created anything, like when a child creates a castle out of a sand, so the child is attached to the whole creation. But here the Lord is destroys the entire thing without any attachment towards that. So Lord exhibits that quality of not being attached. Okay, but at the same time, after the destruction, what happens? Again creation starts. Somebody may say he is completely disgusted with the material world and he has destroyed. But he says that he is not completely disgusted also, because he again creates. So Lord has that special quality of na nirvinno and nati sakto. He is not too much attached also, and he is not too detached also. So that quality of the Lord will reflect on the devotees when they practice. So the verse says, somebody who has developed the attachment to hearing the topics of the Lord, the translation goes, if somehow or the other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither disgusted with nor attached to the material world. So he should not develop too much of detachment, and he should not develop too much of attachment also, but should focus on the developing the faith on the topics of the Lord. Now when we say, like, how the Lord can be so much detached also and still doing the activities of the material world, because when the Lord does the creation, maintenance and destruction, the Lord is not doing for himself. He has the whole spiritual world with him, where he can do a lot of unlimited pastimes. But the whole material world is created for the sake of the living entity, who is the spiritual in nature. So the purpose of creating material world is not like a child creating a castle on the sand, because the child is attached to something he is creating. But here, when the Lord is creating, he is doing for the sake of the living entities. So when the higher purpose is there, the Lord easily shows that Nanirvinno and Natisakto. Similarly, when the devotees, when they do activities, we see that the material world is coming from the Lord, and at the same time we are supposed to use the material, because it is coming from the Lord, we use it in the service of the Lord. Because it belongs to the Lord, it is not for our enjoyment. So then there is a na atisakta, no attachment for that. And because the devotee has to engage it in the service of the Lord, he has to deal with the material world. If somebody is too detached, one cannot deal with the material world to attach it. So the pure devotees, they see everything in the sense of spirit, and then for them it becomes very simple, whether it is matter or whether it is spirit, something to be just used in the service of the Lord. But what about the sadhakas? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, they accept some material activities as a support for their spiritual awakening, but they have no attachment for such activities. So in the case of sadhakas, we take to some material activities, even knowing that this, we are not at the stage of seeing that in the sense of spirit. Like generally when we take Mahaprasadam, it is something offered to the Lord and it is coming as a mercy. Sharira Vidya Jal he has given, and in that Esha Ke Krishna Aswadilo, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur song is there. So it is the highest understanding of how the Prasadam can be taken. But anyway, we are not at that level, so we take somehow because we hope that one day we can get that mood. So we take to some material activities, seeing some spirit in that, even though we are not at that level, but accepting that matter. What we do is, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in proportion to the degree that they discuss spiritual topics in devotion, freedom from the material association is awakened as an extraneous fruit. Which, just accepting the devotees in the process of devotional life, the acceptance of material life is allowed, But that doesn't mean that some engages too much in the matter. So one is supposed to discuss the spiritual topics in devotion, and to the proportion one is engaged in that discussion, to that proportion the freedom from the material association will come up. So when that freedom from the material association comes, the detachment that which the yogi, the jnani is there aspiring for, it automatically comes in the life of the devotees. So that's why it is said, like, for somebody who is practicing bhakti yoga, jnana and vairagya is just a byproducts of it. But still, in Uddhava Gita, Krishna goes on in the whole details of explaining jnana again and again. The Uddhava Gita itself starts by asking Uddhava to see everything in an equal vision, having peace of mind. And then Krishna gives long instructions on Sankhya, long instructions on how the nature of the material world, how one should cut off the knot of the material creation. So ultimately any devotee is also expected to finally develop that detachment from the material world. So this jnana aspect is also spoken. Just because devotees are engaging the matter in the service of Supreme Lord, that doesn't mean that they can go on. So in this 28th chapter, one question is, Krishna has already spoken about the jnana at the various places, so now why again towards the end of the Uddhava Gita again the jnana yoga is spoken? So it is said that this chapter briefly summarizes the process of the jnana yoga, which previous chapters described in full detail. So full details of the jnana yoga is there in the previous chapters. Here the whole jnana yoga is given in just one summary. And Jiva Goswami says, what is the purpose of keeping it here after describing the whole process of deity worship? So he says, in order to eradicate the tendency of seeing things externally while engaged in devotional service. Because the tendency of the material world is, we are not at that stage. We are just given some process, and there is a tendency to think that we are already at that stage and forgetting that there is a long journey to go through. So like in Kali Yuga this becomes even more, because one is respected by just by having external qualities. And that tendency also can come in the devotional service. So in the second chapter of 11th canto, while describing the three levels of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama, Kanishta Bhakta is described as somebody who is engaging in the deity worship but does not properly behave towards other devotees or other people in general. So somebody who is at the starting level of the bhakti, he can only see the deities as the Supreme Lord, and he is not able to see other devotees also as somebody connected to the Lord. And little advanced stages, the Madhyamadhikari, he says, he understands the people in four levels. Ishware tat adineshu, balisheshu, dvichakshusha, prema maitri krupopeksha, yak karoti sa madhyama. So he understands, it is not that he stops serving Lord, he still has prema towards the Lord. At the same time, he understands that the other people who are serving the Lord, they are also devotees. He recognizes them also as a devotees and he learns how to deal with them. And he also identifies there are some people who are innocent, balisheshu, and then he shows compassion by bringing them towards the Supreme Lord. And he also identifies there are some people who are atheistic, who are against the Supreme Lord, and then he keeps away from them. So he sees the world in terms of the Supreme Lord, not in his own terms. And the highest level is the pure devotee, where he sees the Lord everywhere and he sees everything in the Lord. I remember once in the class somebody asked, some of the Sunday feast, I think somebody asked a question to Radhana Swami Maharaj, like there are so many Mayavadis who are misdirecting the common people. So I don't remember the whole discussion, but the mood in which the person was asking was he was having a lot of anger toward the person. And Maharaj started the answer by telling, we should understand that some living entities who are parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord got misdirected and then they are misdirecting others. So even those Mayavadis, Maharaj was seeing, they are also part and parcel of Supreme Lord. But of course that is the stage of pure devotees. At least we are expected to be there in the level of Madhyam Adhikaris. And somebody who has hearing from Prabhupada, we have some things very clearly from the teachings of Prabhupada. We understand Supreme Lord, we understand Mayavadis, whom to keep away from, we understand devotees. That clear distinction directly comes. And so, like that. So just to summarize, the jnana process, it starts by telling somebody should have a equal vision, and it goes little technical analysis. So I just thought of having some understanding of jnana, bhakti and karma, the three processes Krishna has given. So we discussed about the position of karmis, karma yoga, jnana yoga and bhakti yoga. And then we have seen the bhakti yoga starts with the shraddha towards the activities of the Supreme Lord. And those activities of Supreme Lord are not just some imaginary activities, but some activities which are beyond the material world. And we also said that this is a special prerogative of the Vaishnava Sampradayas. Somebody who is not in that will find it completely bewildered. And we also quoted how the Bhagavatam also supports, Bhagavatam starts with an elaborate description how the understanding of the activities of the Supreme Lord is actually possible by the mercy of the Lord. And by engaged in those activities, by engaging in the hearing and chanting of those activities, so one can develop the bhakti yoga without too much detached and without too much attached. And you have seen lastly, the purpose of this chapter, again coming towards the end, is to remove the tendency of seeing things externally. So one is supposed to go deep internally, not just seeing externally. Okay. So we'll stop here. Anybody has any corrections or comments?
Yes. So how do you refute the Mayavadis when they quote this verse that Gyan is for the renounced, karma is for the attached, and those who are in between are for the bhaktas, which may be interpreted as bhakti as an intermediate stage to the higher stage of Gyan, means complete detachment, which means that they say that bhakti is a like a ladder you use to go to the top, and then you have to ultimately give up bhakti up.
Yeah, because when we see the progression of the sadhaka, like two attached to two detached, the Jnana Yogi's ultimate goal is to completely detach oneself from the material world. And problem of the Mayavadis is when one does not have an understanding that these activities of the Supreme Lord are spiritual, are not material. Like, even though in the process of Karma Yoga also, there is some worship of the Supreme Lord involved in it. It is not that Karma Yoga completely detaches oneself from the Lord and it gives. Like, even in the Karma Yoga, one has to offer his results of activities to the Supreme Lord. So in that sense, some amount of the topics, some amount of touch of the Supreme Lord is there in that also. That's where in the Bhagavatam first canto it says, Dharma Swanastita Pumsha Visvakshena Kathashuya Na Utpadayet Idiratin Shramayevahi Kevalam. So after following all the dharmas, one is supposed to awaken the rati, na utpadayat, if one is not awakening that rati. So even while following that karma yoga, if somebody is fortunate, he can develop that attachment. It is not that bhakti yoga is completely separate. One starts karma yoga separately, jnana yoga separately, and bhakti yoga separately. When the attachment to the hearing the topics of spiritual Lord, when the point of center moves from oneself to the Supreme Lord, instead of thinking of what I will get from this particular activity, one starts understanding or starts saying what I will offer to the Supreme Lord. Because in the process of Jnana Yoga or in the impersonalistic understanding of Mayavadis, the very understanding of the Supreme Lord having some activities beyond the material world is not there. So when that is not there, it becomes very difficult for them to understand also. It becomes too difficult. So the time when they can understand that there is can be something higher, so then they can get. So at least for that, we have thorough philosophical discussions, which says the activities of the Supreme Lord are not material. They are spiritual in nature. They are completely beyond this world. And even for devotees also, when we are doing, it is not that we are doing something for ourselves. In a normal outside society, even a person who is practicing some elements of devotion service, he is doing for his own benefit. So in that sense, he has not developed a rati for the Supreme Lord. So his progression may be towards that nirvinna. And the perfection of karma yoga, where we do nishkama karma yoga, is a development of that jnana. So it can award only up to that, the detachment part. And this attachment to the Supreme Lord's activities is something very special, that which comes only by some devotees' association. So I don't know whether I have clarified it, but thank you. Okay, we'll stop here. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Gopal ki jai.